Avenue and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
Truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal citizens.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the Morning Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609. That would be the fact. Get up, get up, get to me. My goodness gracious, my goodness gracious, we have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And again, if you want to toll free, long distance me, you can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get up, get to me. Oh my goodness, we have all kinds of stuff to talk about. They're at it again. They're at it again. George Bush is. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a real life comparison. George Bush is over in Europe. And he is asking Europe, he's kind of like a debt collector in Europe, trying to get money from European nations that were supposed to be paying for part of this war. Good luck with that. They didn't want to go into it. They said to use the UN. You said, bring it on, dead or alive. We don't need no stinking UN. And now you're going back trying to get money out of them? Talk about having to write off a debt. I think that's one they're going to have to do. And in the midst of him, to get people to give money to this, to pay money towards this, you have to sell them on this. You've never been able to sell this, you haven't been able to sell this war to Europe at all. Tens of thousands of people greet you in the street and say, go home. Tens of thousands of people greet you in the street and say, your policy stinks, you stink, and everything about your administration stinks. Some people are saying America stinks because of you. So tell me the plan on getting the money out of these people to pay for this war, this occupation. And on top of that, here's what else you're trying to sell. The bodies of two U.S. soldiers who had been reported kidnapped, found near the checkpoint. Everybody knows that. Y'all know that. Here's what you may not know. There are people are saying out there that these bodies may have had the same types of bombs attached to their bodies as they do to the roads and the highways and the byways of Baghdad. They were booby-trapped. And here's the other piece. We're being told that 8,000 Iraqi and American troops looked for these men. 8,000. Oh, no. That's a lot of folks. 8,000. They knew they had been told that something horrible had happened. And if we are ending up spending 8,000 men looking for other men, who's fighting the war? And the family is saying that the United States should have paid the ransom from the money stolen from Saddam Hussein. I think the U.S. was too slow to react to this because the U.S. did not have a plan in place. My nephew has paid with his life. A farmer said he witnessed the attack, saying that three Humvees were manning a checkpoint when they came under fire from many directions. Two Humvees went after the assailant. The third was ambushed before it could move. Seven gunmen killed the driver, took the other two soldiers captives. How are things going well over there? How are things going over there? And also, how are you going to get anybody to pay up on your tab? You invited me to this restaurant. I didn't want to go. You told me that I had to go. And now you want me to pay for the meal. I wanted to go to a cheaper restaurant. I said I didn't have any money to pay for this. Or better yet, you tell me that we're supposed to eat at this restaurant. I didn't go. And now I'm supposed to pay the bill. In any event, it's going to be hard getting money out of folks. 1-877-920-WGNU. These men have been missing since Friday. It's bad. It is truly, truly bad. And while they were looking for them, seven other troops were wounded. Looking for them. What were they doing out there by themselves? I imagine one of the people that the United States wants to come to the table to help pay for this occupation is Japan. Again, good luck in getting some checks and money out of them. Japan's government will withdraw its troops from Iraq. The Prime Minister told executives of his ruling party that 600 soldiers stationed in the southern Iraq would come home over the next 2 months. We've finished this chapter. We're done here. They only had 100 soldiers, and they're bringing them home. In 2 months, oh, we're done here. This chapter's over. We're done here. Tokyo had said that their mission was strictly humanitarian, with the troops focused on improving water supplies and rebuilding hospitals and schools. We're done here. Water supply is not returned. Schools are not rebuilt. But we're done here. Y'all get that door on the way out. And the Japanese people are not very happy with their government sending troops over there. Not happy at all. And now those few little 600 troops are home. The chapter is closed. Explain to me how you're going to get the money out of Japan. How's that going to work? 1-877-920-WGNU. And if y'all want to know the real reason for why we're at war, you need to watch Frontline tonight. They're running a show called The Dark Side, shining a light on Dick Cheney. Frontline does what it does. The report is saying Frontline does what it does best. They go inside a major story, give us context. The name of it is The Dark Side. It's a rich double entendre that both applies to Cheney and the turf on which the war against terrorists is fought. They're blaming this on Cheney. CIA payback on Cheney. Cheney trusted Rumsfeld. CIA didn't trust any military effort. They felt that the way to win this war was cooperatively, not cooperating with one another, but engaging in ops. And now they're shedding light on Cheney. Interesting. It should be interesting to hear how they howl. How the right will howl. 1-877-920-WGNU. I need to remind you all. Saturday at 1020 North Taylor. At 9:00 in the morning. The Urban Institute meets, and this Saturday, Irene J. Smith and myself, we're going to be talking about something national, tying it to our local issues. We're going to be talking about 9/11. We're going to be showing a film that was on the internet, but they took off the internet, and then they somehow got it back on the internet. You think you know about 9/11? No, you don't. Loose change. A movie that is all kinds of controversy, and it's wonderful. The cool thing about it is it's wonderful to see a film like that with a group so that you can have a group discussion. Loose Change. We're going to be showing that and having a discussion on it, as well as tending to our local business. It's going to be a full morning. Put it on your calendar. Bring your friends to 1020 North Taylor. 1020 North Taylor. And at the time is 9:00. 1-877-920-WGNU. It was interesting on yesterday's show. We had a person from the American Friends Service Committee on from Chicago, talking about how there is a Department of Defense database, the largest database, they say, in the history of this country, maybe even in the world. I imagine that a lot of folks we know are in that database. If they're hounding peace activists, activists in that database. A lot of us are in that database. My observation, though, of the show, one of the things that I wanted to bring to you from listening to our guest yesterday, if you didn't have a chance to catch it, he talked about the militarization of our police force, how all this terrorism money is coming home to dress up our soldiers, our cops, like Darth Vader, and to terrorize us against speaking out. And then interesting how terrorism came home, and I'm not talking about a 9/11. Well, here's something else scary. This atmosphere of increased lawlessness. Everybody hiding behind, dead or alive. We got to go get the bad guys so we don't need any stinking rules to stand in our way. Check this out. Numerous federal and local law enforcement agencies have bypassed subpoenas, warrants, all designed to protect our civil liberties. And they've gathered our personal telephone records from private sector data brokers. Ain't that some stuff? Homeland Security, FBI, U.S. Marshal Services, municipal police departments in Colorado, Florida, Georgia, and Utah. We don't need a stinking warrant. Let's just go get their phone records. And here's the joke. Here's the twist. Here's the dang. They spent $30 million of our money buying our personal data. Ain't that some stuff? Ain't that from some stuff? $30 million to get our information. And what do we hear from some Congress people? The rules on this subject are vague. There's a good chance that some laws are being broken, but it's not really clear what laws. They're going to get our stuff. We don't need a stinking warrant. We just go get your phone records from somebody else. One 877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call you need to get to me. We have much business to tend to.
The moon that excites me, that thrills and delights me. Oh, no. Just as known as you, it is your sweet comfort.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else are you going to get washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, everything that you need to make your house a home, inside and out, whether you want a tractor, you need to check them out. They're all in a little row out in front of the Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. Get on down there. They have wonderful deals. They have wonderful products and wonderful customer service. I'm Liz Brown. When you get there, tell them I told you to.
Coming up Wednesday at 10 a.m. on Sort It Out with Lori and Claire, we'll have a live interview with Michael Lozier, author of Law of Attraction, the science of attracting more of what you want and less of what you don't. He's going to share information about this Law of Attraction science, talk about the vibes that we send, both positive and negative, and go deeper into his concept of deliberate attraction, which is going to help us figure out how to get what we want. Tune in Wednesday at 10 a.m. to hear more from Michael Lozier and his amazing Law of Attraction concept.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Gutter Monster from St. Clair. In both directions, 170 at Forest Park Parkway and Ladue. Look for construction. Left lane's closed. Eastbound 44 at Bowles all the way to 270 looks good. Northbound 55 at Richardson. 270 is on the move. Northbound 270 at 44. Nothing to report. Eastbound 70 at Cave Springs and Blanchette. Look for nothing there. Westbound 270 at 367 and 170. Look for everything to be on the move. Westbound 5570 at the PSB. Look for paving operations. Have the right lane closed. Traffic is slow in the right lane from near Route 3. Left lane has little slowdowns approaching the bridge. Eastbound 40 at Poplar Street Bridge. Same situation. We have paving operations. Right center lane is closed. Westbound Kingbridge traffic looks good. Westbound East Bridge looks good. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. You can expect no delays in the 6:30 hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Gutter Monster from St. Clair. Gutter Monster, gutter protection that does more than keep leaves out. Call 800-444-1884 and save 20%. Gutter Monster from St. Clair, bringing your home the very best for over 120 years. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. A heat advisory is in effect from noon today until 7 p.m. this evening. Otherwise, hot and humid, partly cloudy, a high in the upper 90s. The heat index is expected to reach around 105 by this afternoon. This evening, partly cloudy, chance of showers, even a thunderstorm or two, with a low in the mid-70s. Thursday and Friday, pretty much the same. Partly sunny both days, chance of thunderstorms, and a high near 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 76 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 78. More coming up next with Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in health care providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare. Still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare. Still connected to the community.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, this is Brett Rosen with Head Thumping Talk Radio on WGNU. Just letting you know that we are moving to a new time from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. every Thursday morning, dedicated to making you mad or making you think since 1999. Watching everything
the engineer would move. Tune in every Thursday at noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
Coming up Monday on the Wake Up Call, we've rescheduled our interview with David McMichael, a Marine Corps vet and a former consultant with the Defense Department.
He worked in counterinsurgency matters in Southeast Asia and says while the killings at Haditha are tragic, they do fall within the tradition of American military operations and are not surprising. You won't want to miss this eye-opening look into the world of military strategy with David McMichael, Monday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call.
How you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
Liz, I heard something real scary the other day. You remember a year ago this guy called, and I think he called you all the way from Korea. He's in the military. He said he'd been stationed over in Korea for 4 years. And remember he said he told his wife to start selling everything and get out of California because he found out in Korea, while he's stationed in Korea, that everything, all these missiles were aimed at California.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, Korea is talking about launching these test missiles, and they were saying where the test missiles are aimed, a couple of them are aimed at California.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that the other day?
Of course.
That is scary.
I don't think that Korea's pointing the missiles at us is scary. I think us saying that we're going, this administration saying that they're going to shoot them out of the sky is the scary part. Because this is an administration that has bungled every piece of intelligence that has come to them. They've bungled a war. They've bungled the relationships. I don't trust their interpretation of their intelligence. I don't trust anything that this administration says that they're going to do.
Yeah.
North Korea says that they have a right to test them, and we say we're going to shoot them down.
Yeah,
that's the scary part.
I just don't know who we think we are. We got more missiles and war weapons than anybody in the world. But they don't want nobody else to have them. I don't get the picture on that.
Mm.
And those boys yesterday, you know the boys that they, those two young men that they captured.
And killed.
They said that they mutilated them.
Yes, they did.
Uncle is saying, well, you know, we just need to get them. And we don't have any business being over there.
Mm.
You know, Liz, this is what I'm saying. So I don't know, Leah. Everything in this—it's just all screwed up.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to attend to. Much business to tend to. Are we going to end up, what does George Bush need right now to get his numbers out of the turlet? What does he need? Another 9/11. We're hearing noise from this administration about, and listen for the quotation marks around the word, my words, shooting down a North Korean missile. What happened at the Pentagon? Was it a plane or was it a missile?
Are you scared yet? George, baby don't need a new pair of shoes. Baby needs a new 9/11. Korea, according to us, according to this administration, is ratcheting it up. We're talking about shooting down a missile. Can anything good come of that? Can anything good come of that? Can anything good come of us shooting down somebody else's missile? Oh, nuclear missile. Can anything good come of that? And remember, these are the missiles going to be shot down by the administration that can't find Osama bin Laden, that didn't find Saddam Hussein, that said that when we get to Iraq, we will be welcomed as liberators, carried on the shoulders of happy people, happy, happy, joy, joy, flowers at our feet. We'll be in it and out in no time flat, and everybody will be wearing mission accomplished banners. Huh. How'd that work out for us? These are the same folks that brought us all of that stuff. They had memos saying, watch Osama bin Laden. They had reports that said, they're going to be using planes to hit our buildings. They had intelligence that said, you know what, it's not Saddam Hussein. And there's nothing going on in Niger. They ignored all of the information and instead pursued somebody that hasn't done anything to us, looking for weapons of mass destruction that they didn't find because they weren't there, because intelligence told them they weren't there. And now these are the brain surgeons that are going to be analyzing whether or not we should shoot down a nuclear missile. Baby needs a new 9/11. Baby needs a new 9/11. A new enemy. It worked so well in World War II. It worked so well in the Korean War. Baby needs a new wall. I'm not saying I know this for sure. I'm saying y'all better pay attention. Y'all better pay attention, and y'all need to come to the Urban Institute on Saturday. Don't believe me? You need to come to the Urban Institute on Saturday at 9 a.m. at 1020 North Taylor. We're going to be showing Loose Change. You need to know. You think you know about what went on in 9/11? No, you don't. You need to come on out to 1020 North Taylor at 9 a.m. on Saturday morning. Irene J. Smith and myself, you need to be there. Could any good come of shooting a nuclear missile out of the air? Especially when George Bush is behind the pulling the trigger. D.
Good morning, Dr. Brown.
How are you?
Oh, I'm excellent, as are you. You know, I was thinking, you know how they rallied all those so-called Christians against this same-sex marriage? All this simple, silly stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And now we're getting ready to watch bombs bursting in air.
Bombs bursting
in
air.
Well, we should have really been paying more attention about all these little things that they are trying to make us watch instead of the real important stuff.
Bombs bursting in
air. Bombs bursting in air.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Duck.
Thanks.
Duck.
See you Saturday.
All right now. Taking a break. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Stay with me.
News update. Dateline New York. Venezuela has expressed a desire to join the United Nations Security Council. But that concept is being opposed by the United States because the Bush administration feels President Hugo Chavez would use their seat on the council to try and prevent any punitive measures against Iran. Over the last several weeks, the administration has gone as far as threatening to retaliate against any Latin American countries who support the Venezuelan bid. For instance, the administration has agreed to sell F-16 warplanes to Chile, but has said that their pilots would not be trained to operate them if the Chilean government supports Venezuela. Argentina currently holds the region's seat on the Security Council, but the two-year term is about to expire. Washington is backing Guatemala, saying it is a much more viable candidate because it has sent peacekeepers to the Democratic Republic of Congo. And Dateline Chicago. The USG Corporation yesterday announced its plan to get out of bankruptcy after 5 years of trouble. USG makes the Sheetrock brand of wallboard and has had a nightmare of legal problems due to its use of asbestos in its building material. USG said it is starting to pay off its creditors and also has created a trust fund that will take care of personal injury claims. It could wind up putting $3 billion into that fund if federal legislation does not create a national fund for personal injury claims pertaining to asbestos. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Next on Mondays at 9, we look at a study that indicates women who use ACE inhibitors to treat high blood pressure while pregnant run a greater risk of giving birth to a child with birth defects. Did the FDA know this as far back as 15 years ago? Why were no warnings ever required? Is this another case of putting money over health? A shocking revelation from investigative journalist Evelyn Pringle of Op-Ed Magazine on the next edition of Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in after the 5 o'clock news every Friday for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage on your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons after the 5 o'clock news on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
Hi, this is Herb Steck. I'm the host of The West Wing, right here on WGNU Radio, Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., covering politics here in St. Louis, across the state, in the Capitol and Jeff City, and on the national level. Call in with your questions, your comments. Drop us an email, WGNU@hotmail.com. We'll be happy to talk about any political subject you want to talk about on Wednesday nights, right here on The West Wing with Herb Steck.
Coming up Monday on the Wake Up Call, we've rescheduled our interview with David McMichael, a Marine Corps vet and a former consultant with the Defense Department. He worked in counterinsurgency matters in Southeast Asia and says while the killings at Haditha are tragic, they do fall within the tradition of American military operations and are not surprising. You won't want to miss this eye-opening look into the world of military strategy with David McMichael, Monday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
This is a message to all those who've been trying to reach the top of the hill on that ladder of success.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much stuff to talk about. Maurice.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
I've listened to you earlier talking about how the police are being more militarized and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you. Mm-hmm. And it's a few things that I don't think people put two and two together. One law that's on the books that was turned toward the urban areas, and I'm just going to say urban areas, but just toward crime in general with the lower echelons of crime area, the RICO Act. The RICO Act, I don't think a lot of people realize, was really a federal federal law that was for international drug offenses. And they turned that towards the inner city. And I look at that, and I use that as a precedent for the Patriot Act and a lot of the laws associated with the Patriot Act. And I was like, you know what? That can very easily happen with the Patriot Act.
Mm-hmm.
They could turn it towards the poor people. And I say poor people because I'd never known the RICO Act, which is they use it for conspiracy, to be used for white collar crimes in corporate America.
Well, they are finally attempting to use some of that in that direction, but you're right in terms of where the focus is. Where do bullies go? They don't go to the kid that is a taekwondo expert. You know, they go to the kid that can't defend themselves. So, you know, you go to people whose lives are consumed with trying to pay their rent, and you taking them on is not very hard to do.
Very true.
It's not very hard to do at all.
Very true. And second point, I called into one of the talk shows one night, and we were discussing. You guy was talking about, you know, America and the values of America and so forth. And I made a point to him. I said, you know what? That's a good point. You know, the values of America, what have you. I said, but America doesn't seem to have a problem with values as long as the issues that are affecting those values are in the lower income areas or only affecting the people in the lower rungs of our society.
Okay.
When it hits suburbia or hits the so-called quote-unquote middle class, then it's a problem in America. I think that's the same thing that we're facing now with the usurping of the Constitution.
Okay.
It's not a problem right now, but when this really affecting so-called quote-unquote middle America, and it starts hitting these people in the suburbs real hard, then you're going to start seeing a real big upcry, like, wait a minute, where did this come from?
All right, got to roll. Thanks, right. Maurice. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You're on the wake-up call.
Liz, the story is now that Karl Rove and Cheney will tell Libby take the fall, and immediately he will be pardoned by Bush. And one more thing, they announced yesterday that two of our soldiers were not killed by the enemy. They were killed by their the country they are fighting in, two Iraqi soldiers on our side killed them. So it now we have a Viet Cong deal going where you can't tell your friend from your enemy. Thank you very much.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff that we need to talk about. North Korea defended its right yesterday to test a long-range missile, rejected international calls to stop launch preparations. North Korean foreign minister said that it is our right to test launch a ballistic missile. It's not nuclear. Nobody has a right to slander that right. While not confirming or denying that North Korea plans a missile launch, they say that they are not bound by international commitments it made to a missile moratorium. Rice spoke by telephone, that would be Condoleezza Rice, to the United Nations Ambassador John Bolton. He spoke to UN officials. While not saying specifically what actions would be taken, they haven't ruled out shooting it down. We are simply not going to tip our hand, said Tony Snow. And that means we're not going to tell Congress, we're not going to tell the senator, we're not going to tell anybody. And just fire away. Fire away. Fire away. You think this is going to be another way for those in this administration to come back and say, we need Star Wars. We need billions and trillions of dollars for Star Wars. Whew, Lord. There is so much. There is so much that we need to... there's so much we need to do. Oh, 1-877-920-WGNU. Yes, Deborah. 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 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Don't forget that in the next hour it is the St. Louis Public Schools Watch with Peter Downs. We have no teachers. Teachers are leaving the district, fleeing the district, voting with their feet. We have stuff we need to talk about. We have stuff we need to talk about. So then the next hour we're going to do that. Also, don't forget that on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock at 1020 North Taylor, that's 1020 North Taylor, Irene J. Smith and myself, the Urban Institute, you need to know what's going on in your world. And we're going to bring some of that to you. We're going to be showing a film, Loose Change. What is it about? Well, you think you know what happened in 9/11? No, you don't. And it is particularly important to watch this film now with what's going on with North Korea. These are scary times. So be there Saturday morning as we have a discussion and watch this film, Loose Change, at the Urban Institute, Irene J. Smith and myself. Be there. Be there. Carphone.
Good morning. Did you get a chance to look at the documentary that was on Channel 9 last night? They've been running it for a little while, about how Cheney positioned his cronies within the White House structure to actually control the system and bringing it to under a military control.
I thought that was... Are you talking about the dark side?
I believe so, yes.
Because it hasn't... I thought it wasn't on until tonight.
It was on last night.
Okay. No, they just... That's brand new.
Okay.
Yeah, that's brand new.
Last night. That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
That's how they ran Colin Powell out of position, by having all of his people involved. He even had one of Cheney's guys as an undersecretary of state, Colin Powell.
Colin Powell knew better. That was front line. I got no sympathy. Right, right. Nobody made him open his mouth and tell those lies. He knew it wasn't true.
That's no doubt about it. And then that's how they got rid of Kennett and brought the CIA under the control of the military. And that's why that military general is in charge of the CIA at this moment.
All right, now.
Have a good day.
Take care of yourself. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. Much coming at you. St. Louis Public Schools Watch. Stay with us.
I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you discuss? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you discuss?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
Revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you sustain?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
Find the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's
the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Please respect our privacy. That's what the families of PFCs Thomas Tucker and Christian Menchuk are saying today. A day after the missing soldiers' bodies were found, not far from the Iraqi checkpoint they were manning. ABC's Alex Stone has more from Tucker's hometown, Madras, Oregon.
Private Tucker's parents put out a statement saying they are not ready to speak publicly about their son. Outside the family home, there are 10 American flags and sheriff's deputies keeping reporters and onlookers away. In the town of Madras, most of the buildings have American flags on them. A makeshift memorial has been set up at an elementary school. Signs have been left there saying, Tom, we love you.
Menchaca was from Houston, Texas. President Bush is meeting with European leaders today in Vienna. ABC's Ann Compton is with
him. This mini-summit is little more than a footnote. President Bush is sitting down with the three men who lead the European Union. Serious debate on Iran is not likely until next month, when the president returns to Europe for the G8 summit with allies Germany, Great Britain, and other major players all at the table.
Hundreds of students protested the president's visit. They were in outside the meetings and leading the demonstration. Anti-war activist Cindy Sheehan, whose son was killed in Iraq.
Why are kids still fighting and dying and killing innocent people in Iraq, especially when the government of Iraq and the people of Iraq want the occupation to end?
The protesters waved black flags, blew whistles, and banged drums. A fire in Arizona's Red Rock County has gotten out of hand again. Hundreds of residents have been told to evacuate while fire crews try to keep the flames away from their homes and their businesses. About 270 homes were also evacuated across the state line in Colorado. A huge cheering crowd greeted the Miami Heat as their plane landed in South Florida early today. The Heat beat Dallas 95-92 last night in Game 6 of the NBA Finals to win the whole thing the first time in franchise history. This is ABC News.
Fuel, adventure, Sea-Doo. Add it up to get the best in open water, sun-drenched, wave-hopping excitement. Right now, buy a new Sea-Doo personal watercraft, and you'll get up to $1,000 in free gas to fuel your adventure. See your Sea-Doo dealer today and check out the all-new Sea-Doo 4-Stroke GTI, a great value that was named Watercraft of the Year by Watercraft World Magazine. Sea-Doo, leave everything else behind. Promotion ends 7506. Free gas value varies by model on prepaid debit card. See dealer for complete offer details. Some restrictions may apply.
Criminal justice is one of America's fastest-growing career fields. With a degree in criminal justice, you can pursue exciting entry-level opportunities. At the ITT Tech School of Criminal Justice, they teach you the fundamentals of the criminal justice system. Classes meet just a few days a week, and financial aid is available for those who qualify. Call now for an ITT Tech brochure. 1-800-851-4499. 1-800-851-4499.
Not offered at every campus. Check the ITT Tech for a list of programs offered.
What is that? The sky is looking pretty strange over parts of Iowa. ABC News national correspondent Jim Hickey tells us all about it.
If you saw the movie Independence Day,
that's what I call a close encounter,
or Close Encounters of the Third Kind, then you have an idea what the clouds over Iowa looked like.
I thought I was going to see alien spaceships come down through the clouds.
Billowy, gray, white formations that appeared like waves on the ocean.
We'll call them wave clouds, but that's not an actual type of cloud. It's just how they look.
Something they don't see much in those parts.
Yeah, just making sure Independence Day wasn't happening again.
Jim Hickey, ABC News.
If you're trying to have a baby, you may be helped as much by a psychologist as you could an MD. An Emory University study says women who are in therapy while undergoing medical treatment for infertility are much more likely to conceive. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Time for a WGNU News update. This report is brought to you by Orkin Pest Control. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news, arson is suspected in a small fire at a new housing development for people with AIDS. The fire broke out yesterday morning at Doorways Partridge Place Complex under construction in the Walnut Park neighborhood of North St. Louis. Doorways officials say the fire will not delay the construction. Alderman Greg Carter, whose 27th ward includes the Walnut Park neighborhood, asked for Doorway's help after learning that the AIDS rate in his ward is more than twice that of the rest of the city. Partridge Place will include 14 one-bedroom units and 4 two-bedroom units. In other news, former St. Louis Blue Tony Twist is marking another legal victory in his fight against a comic book creator. A 3-judge panel from the Eastern Missouri Court of Appeals upheld a ruling yesterday in Twist's favor. Twist sued comic creator Todd McFarlane and his production company after McFarlane used the name Tony Twist for a mob boss in his Spawn comic series. McFarlane has said he named the character after the hockey player, but claims he's protected under the First Amendment. The appeals judges upheld Twist's right of publicity claim and a $15 million judgment against McFarlane. And finally this hour, members of the Survivors Network of those abused by priests are speaking out against two alleged child molesters. The victims group says both Father Bruce MacArthur and Brother William Miller are a threat to children in the St. Louis area. SNAP National Director David Cloese says Father MacArthur is living in a church-run home in Jefferson County. He's been convicted of molesting children in one state and accused in three other states. Cloese says Brother Miller is accused of molesting dozens of boys in Missouri, Texas, and Colorado. He worked in St. Louis at Chaminade, Vianney, and St. Mary's. And that's a report of WGNU News for this hour, brought to you by Orkin Pest Control. Roaches recognize their friends by their odor. Do they like your smell? Call the Orkin Man. He's been fighting roach invasions for over 100 years. Protect your home. Protect your family. For help, call 1-800-ORKINMAN. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your Dodge dealers. Southbound 170 at Del Mar and Ladue. Look for a disabled vehicle. Right lane is blocked. Westbound 270 at Illinois 203 all the way to Canal Bridge. Look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of 44's interchange there. Eastbound 70 at Hughes and 79. Look for slow traffic as well. Westbound 270 from New Halls Ferry all the way to Washington Elizabeth. Very heavy volume. Then traffic is stop and go in the right lane from New Flores into the inner belt. Westbound 5570 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Paving operations have the right lane closed, so you expect some delays rolling up into the 64 merge. Eastbound 40 at Poplar Street Bridge. Paving operations have the right center lane closed. And northbound Route 3 and westbound Kingbridge traffic, as well as westbound Eads Bridge, you can expect some delays now in your commute into downtown St. Louis. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Dodge Dealers. This June, choose how you want to save on your Dodge dealer. Grab 0% APR long-term financing on most Dodge vehicles, or grab a huge cash allowance up to $5,000. See your Dodge dealer for details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, heat advisory is in effect from noon until 7 p.m. this evening. Otherwise, hot and humid, partly cloudy, high in the upper 90s. The heat index is expected to reach around 105 by this afternoon. This evening, partly cloudy, a chance of showers, low in the mid-70s. Thursday, partly sunny, and Friday, partly sunny. Both days we have a chance for showers and a high in the 90s. Currently we have 76 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 78, both under mostly sunny skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs is on the way with Liz Brown. Take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this go? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this go? Our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how do you
The truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
This is St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly in-depth look at developments affecting the education of our children.
Welcome, welcome to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. Peter, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Let's talk about this morning. I've gotten numerous emails about the teacher condition at the St. Louis Public Schools. We know a few weeks ago the teachers, 600 of them or so, the teachers' union, had a vote of no confidence.
Right.
And prior to that, prior to the vote of no confidence, Craig Williams had fired. They would say, you just have to reapply for your job. But 1,000 people didn't have their jobs. What's going on? I mean, those two things do not sound like a recipe for teacher retainment in the district, or even teachers feeling connected to the district. If you don't know, if your job has been changed and changed and changed, how do you feel connected to the district? What's going on with the teachers right now? Are they leaving? Are they staying? What's happening?
I agree with your assessment, what mm-hmm. that all means. There are a lot of anecdotes,
mm-hmm.
all right? A lot of individual cases that have come of teachers leaving the district.
Mm-hmm.
We won't know kind of as a body what they're doing, total numbers, mm-hmm. probably until September, and we can look back and see what happened. But there's, I've heard of several cases of teachers with, 28, 30, 32 years in the district who are being put through this situation. They're told, you no longer have a job at the school, apply for a new job, they go to an interview, and, it's a sham interview. They say, you don't have a position here, and they're left right now not knowing where they would teach, and they're just saying, forget it, I'm not putting up with this. I'm going to go somewhere else.
And let's talk about that for a second, because one of the frustrating things for me when people talk about schools, particularly coming from, my father taught at the college level, my mother was a grade school teacher, aunts, 40 years in teaching. It's not easy to be a teacher, and there's a lot involved in it. When you move a 32-year teacher from place to place to place, then that means that they can't prepare their classroom. They can't prepare for the upcoming year. There's a lot of preparation that goes into teaching.
There is. There's a lot of preparation. And, I say not just anybody, if they think about it, they want to know what they're going to be doing in 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And teachers in particular, if you just look at your own experience and you want to know what's happening with your job.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to be doing? What job are you going to have in 2 months? Then add there the teachers who every year have the uncertainty of knowing who's going to come in and be in their class anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So they want some degree of certainty knowing what to prepare for. What grade are they going to teach? What subject are they going
That's
to teach?
Right.
What school are they going to be at?
Right.
Because you always have the uncertainty of who's coming into your class anyway, so you need some preparation, some element something that you have control over something.
And also the ability, if you don't know what grade you're going to teach over the summer, how can you prepare? If you don't know where you're going to be, how can you prepare? If you had to move all of your stuff out of a classroom that you've had for 20 years or 15 years or 5 years, how do you prepare to... Do you expect that you're going to have enough preparation time to go in and get your classroom set up for the next year? And I guess you have to add to that, why are they going through this? Why are they right. having to go through this? Is there a legitimate reason for this? And, Peter, you've had some time to look at this. What are the reasons? Why are they having to do this? Has it become clear yet?
No, it hasn't. I think that most people looking at it would agree that they are what they're doing is a lot broader, involves a lot more teachers than they needed to.
Mm-hmm.
There's argument over whether or not they had to do it to the reconstituted schools
mm-hmm.
or not, and there were four schools that they had to reconstitute, but this is 13 schools. And beyond, because individuals of other schools are being given these notices too, that they subjected all the teachers to in this. Right now it looks, just from what I'm hearing, I wouldn't be surprised if there are a lot of legal cases that come out of this, a lot of lawsuits that come out of this.
Mm-hmm. And you wrote an article, we're losing the competition for teachers.
Yeah, well, I was looking back a couple of years since Roberti, actually. William Roberti was here in 2003. Because pretty much since then, there's been the central office, whoever we've had as the top administrator, has made it a habit to attack teachers and criticize teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been joined in by our mayor and the major newspaper in town. Notice. But if you look back 3 years, 2003, in August 2003, Roberti reported that there were approximately 3,500 teachers in St. Louis Public Schools. The number was something like 3,496 or something, but approximately 3,500, of which he said nearly 600 were didn't have their teaching certificates. So as part of his budget proposal at that time, he said, well, we'll just cut all those positions where we don't have teachers with certificates.
Mm-hmm.
That'll save us money. And so that was part of his increasing class sizes at the time, cutting budgets. Even so, he couldn't cut all those positions because he came back the next year with 3,195 teaching positions, I think. But we've had a continual cut in teaching positions, faster than the decline in enrollment. There was some talk recently saying, oh, we're at the same size teaching contingent as when we had 40,000 students. And that's
because we've lost, 20,000, 30,000 students?
Well, no, we've gone down to 35,000. Mm-hmm. We've lost 5,000 students mm-hmm. since the last year Hammonds was here.
Mm-hmm.
About 12% of the student body.
Wow.
And there's this claim that saying, oh, part of the continuing budget difficulties is that we've kept the same number of teachers as when Hammonds was here. And it's just...
That's just not true.
Just not true. You know, nothing could be farther from the truth. Not only the big cuts in the Roberti, but they've been continued since then. As he was leaving, he had this buyout that he negotiated with the teachers union to get a couple hundred teachers to retire early. And in this last budget, the budget report that Craig Williams presented to the board in June, he said there were about 2,750 teachers last year in St. Louis Public Schools.
Wow.
That's 900. That's almost 25% fewer teachers than 4 years ago.
But when Roberti started and when Hammonds retired, we had a teacher shortage, didn't we?
Yes. I mean, that's why we had positions that were filled by teachers who didn't have their certificates. All right. There's still individuals in the classroom teaching,
mm-hmm.
but they don't have a teacher's certificate. And it was there was that. But also, even with all of that, we were still not meeting the desegregation settlement guidelines for class size. Our classes were still bigger than we had agreed to have under the desegregation settlement. And we've only moved farther away from that that agreement in the years since then. The latest budget presented by the superintendent would cut us down to fewer than 2,500 teachers. So we're talking about a loss of approximately a third of the teaching positions
since
in 4 years.
Since Roberti, in 4 years.
A decline in student population about 12% and a decline in almost 30% in teachers. And even so, even with all the sharp cuts in teachers, we still can't fill those teaching positions with qualified teachers. We still have hundreds of teachers who do not have their teaching certificates.
And why can't we fill those positions?
Well, it's I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously what has happened is the teachers who have qualifications are leaving faster than we're cutting positions and hiring new teachers. And we do hire hundreds of new every year. We get Teach for America,
mm-hmm.
People who get their temporary certification from the state every year.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're counted as certified.
Right? And which is absurd because they're no more certified than, in fact, I would submit that some of the permanent subs that have been here longer than the Can't Teach for America folks are better qualified than they are, but they're not really certified teachers, are they?
Well, they're really certified if you go by what the state says is certified. The state says we're treating them as certified. The issue here is when the state comes back, as it did this spring,
mm-hmm.
and says you have too many uncertified teachers in the classroom, and we're going to hold millions of dollars back from you unless you fix that. They're not referring to the Teach for America people.
Even though they didn't have to go through the same process that people with education degrees had to go through to get their certification.
Right, right.
So it's smoke and mirrors. It is because when a parent hears that a teacher is certified, there's supposed to be some kind. I mean, a parent would naturally assume that the person that is certified has gone through college to get the things that they need, has gone through all of the processes to become certified. So it's a fiction and smoke and mirrors.
Well, it is, but to me the bigger thing is that even with the smoke and mirrors, we still can't make it appear that we have a certified teacher in every classroom because certified teachers are leaving so quickly.
So the response from Craig Williams, who gets paid $25,000 a month, what's his response? I know he can't respond now because he's been out of town for 3 days, and so is his assistant out of town. So I know it's a burden to ask for it, to try to get a memo back from him on his position because he ain't there. But I guess summertime, $25,000 a month, you got to spend your money somewhere. So what is the response from Craig?
Directly to that, I haven't brought that directly up to him when mm-hmm. he's been in town
mm-hmm.
to get a direct response. But indirectly,
uh-huh.
in discussing the budget, and he has presented the belief that if we cut our number of teachers down to the number who is certified, they'll stay here, and poof, we'll have a certified teacher in every classroom.
What
I'm pointing out is that we've kind of followed that theory in the past, and I pointed this out to Craig Williams too when we were talking, is that it has never worked. You cut down the number of teaching positions saying, well, we're going to cut our way to having certified teachers in every classroom. What it gives you is bigger classes, and the teachers that you're counting on staying leave.
But this goes back to the point that I make every week and every opportunity that I have to talk on this issue. This is why you hire somebody in this position that has had experience in running a school district before. Craig Williams was never a superintendent anywhere before. He was hired at $300,000 a year by this district. This sounds like the same voodoo economics that he uses with the budget. His way of dealing with our budget. Anybody. And I submit to you, you don't need a degree of any kind to figure out if you keep cutting back on to the number of teachers that are certified, that doesn't change the number of students that need to be taught, that you are going to have larger classrooms, and you are going to be violating No Child Left Behind, you're going to be violating the DSEG program, and you're going to be losing teachers, and kids are not going to be, and the kids are not going to be getting a good education. I mean, that it doesn't take any kind of expertise to do that. So that I think it just really makes it even more troubling that these are the decisions that are being made out of this by this administration. It doesn't work.
And I don't think it'll work this time either. But you're right. It hasn't worked. It doesn't. I agree with you. It's common sense that it won't work. And I don't. Sometimes common sense is wrong. Let's grant that, okay? Mm-hmm. But no reason, no experience or analysis has been presented to the board that says, oh, well, this time it's going to work.
And talking to the teachers, we have to factor in any entity, and particularly an entity that has so much responsibility, teachers touching the lives of children and determining the path the kids are going to go on, if kids are going to be connected to an educational process, if they're going to have a future. What is the morale of these people that have so much responsibility in their hands right now? What's their morale like?
Oh, the morale is extremely low. And there's a rumor circulating amongst the teachers that I've heard several times that there might be a grain of truth to it, but I think it's blown way out of proportion. But I think it illustrates this morale. The rumor is that the way Craig Williams is going to try and make it work this time is he's been bringing busloads of displaced teachers from New Orleans in. And he's going to hire hundreds of New Orleans teachers.
And,
you know, I mean, if they're qualified teachers, you know, there's the same thing, the whole issue of why can't we get other qualified teachers? They have plenty of other job opportunities in coming here.
Yeah, true fact. And if that were true, it would sound like another Craig Williams type of fix of that. The problem for me has been, so far as the teachers are concerned, is that it seems like their morale is so low that they're almost paralyzed with what they're supposed to do. What do you do in a situation like this?
And if you're talking about teachers as a group, I think you're right. As individuals, it gets back to what we started this conversation with. A lot of the individuals are just leaving the district. There was a letter sent out from Dolores Mills, mm-hmm. a retired teacher, talking about her old school, Sumner. And I think, I don't recall the exact numbers, but it's something like a third of the teachers there.
Actually, a fourth of the certified, 17 people have just retired, a fourth of the certified staff in the building. So there are 17 vacancies there for people interested and whose certification matches those open positions. That's a lot.
That is a lot.
In one school. That's just in, one school.
Yes, and I know at Shaw Elementary, where I have a daughter who's a student, and about a quarter of the teachers there are retiring. I think five of the 22 teachers there
said
they're retiring.
What are they saying? Why?
They're just, a few of those are retiring earlier than they had initially planned. Mm-hmm. They're just fed up with the way things are being run and decide, I got the time, I'm going to leave.
And this gets to a place of leadership, Peter. I mean, a superintendent is supposed to have leadership over his watch, what he's supposed to be controlling or what he's supposed to be administering. And I don't see any leadership being demonstrated, but I see directives being given. I see demands being made. I see actions being taken without any collaborative input into it. But there isn't any real leadership if there's such a disconnect between a superintendent and what appears to be an entire district. It appears to be them versus him.
It certainly appears that way, and it makes it hard to see how the plans that come out of the district office, district headquarters, are really intended to move the district forward educationally or financially.
Mm-hmm.
The people we see leaving, I want to backtrack a minute, because you mentioned No Child Left Behind.
And I need you to hold that thought.
Okay.
We'll talk about that when we come back. I'm Liz Brown. This is St. Louis Public Schools Watch. I'm here with Peter Downs. We'll be back after this break. Stay with us.
Good morning, Miss Liz.
Good morning. Who's this?
This is Dontrell Busby calling you from McLean School, second grade room 209. Thank you, Miss Liz, for the gift from Africa that you gave to everyone. We are watching a movie. The movie is called Roots. In the movie, the center is in a village.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hello, St. Louis. It's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy, inviting you to join us for the Travel Planner Show every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4.
We'll talk travel, share our experiences, tell you about some great deals and steals, and give you some travel tips like this.
We always cross-pack at least one change of clothes in each other's bag, just in case a bag gets lost.
Plus, it sure does give the security guys a good laugh when they see those little panties in my bag.
So tell a friend. It's the Travel Planner Show from 2 to 4 every Saturday afternoon.
On Radio Free St. Louis, 920 WGNU.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Orkin Pest Control. Southbound 94 at South Breeze, there's a report of an injury accident. Northbound 55 at Herculane and McNutt, there's a medical emergency, and they have dispatched emergency crews to investigate a person that is down. Westbound 270 at Illinois 203 and Canal Bridge, look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 on Gravois and 44, you've got stop and go traffic going on there. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes, look for slow traffic all the way back through 79. Westbound 270 at New Florissant and 170, look for slow traffic in the right lane. And the Poplar Street Bridge has paving operations going on westbound that is taking a right lane down, and everything is slow through the 64 merge. That includes westbound 64 into the 5570, westbound Kingbridge traffic, northbound Route 3, and westbound Eads Bridge. You can expect some delays going on into downtown this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Orkin Pest Control. Did you know that there are 900,000 species of insect, and not one of them are good for business? Today, more businesses trust Orkin for their pest control. To learn more, visit OrkinCommercial.com. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. A heat advisory is in effect beginning at noon today till 7 p.m., otherwise hot and humid, partly cloudy, high in the upper 90s. Heat index is expected to reach around 105 by this afternoon. This evening, partly cloudy, chance of showers with a low in the mid-70s. Thursday, partly sunny, another chance for showers, high around 90, and pretty much the same for Friday. Currently, we have mostly clear skies and 77 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 79. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Coming up Wednesday at 10 a.m. on Sort It Out with Lori and Claire, we'll have a live interview with Michael Lozier, author of Law of Attraction, the science of attracting more of what you want and less of what you don't.
He's going to share information about this Law of Attraction science, talk about the vibes that we send, both positive and negative, and go deeper into his concept of deliberate attraction, which is going to help us figure out how to get what we want. Tune in Wednesday at 10 a.m. to hear more from Michael Lozier and his amazing Law of Attraction concept.
Coming up Monday on the Wake Up Call, we've rescheduled our interview with David McMichael, a Marine Corps vet and a former consultant with the Defense Department.
He worked in counterinsurgency matters in Southeast Asia and says while the killings at Haditha are tragic, they do fall within the tradition of American military operations and are not surprising. You won't want to miss this eye-opening look into the world of military strategy with David McMichael, Monday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Good morning, Miss Liz.
Good morning. Who's this?
This is Dontra Busby calling you from McLean School, Zeki Gray Room 209. Thank you, Miss Liz, for the gift from Africa that you gave to everyone. We are watching a movie. The movie is called Ruth. In the movie, the setting is in a village called Jufurate. And Ruth was voted by Alex Haley. Miss Liz, we had our Awards Day program, and I received an achievement trophy. Have a good summer. Dr. Busby from 209 for Dignity. Rise Supreme. Love you.
Love you. Thank you.
What a wonderful world.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. This is Liz Brown. I am here with Peter Downs. Peter, we left in the middle of a thought.
Yes, I thought No Child Left Behind, and we're talking about requires a highly qualified teacher in every classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the research and commentary on that has been at the disadvantage that urban school children have because they have so many teachers who have 1, 2, or 3 years experience. There's a whole body of research now showing that teachers get better in their early career as they get more experience, and they really continue to get better through about 5 years of experience. They tend to plateau out after they've had about 5 years of teaching experience. And so a lot of the discussion with No Child Left Behind is how do we get more experienced teachers into urban districts where they're more effective teaching kids who often come from disadvantaged backgrounds and so need that effectiveness. And what we're seeing with the flight of teachers from St. Louis and the retirements we were just talking about, older teachers being pushed out by the kinds of things, these mass terminations and reapplications, is that the kind of teachers that nationally everyone says these are the ones we want in urban districts, those are the ones we're pushing out.
And there's something to be said also, though. Every teacher that's been there for 20 years is not a good teacher.
That's true.
I mean, that just like in any other entity, everybody that is there isn't necessarily the best person for the job. Is there some kind of process available to truly evaluate teachers? Because I hear people saying, well, you can't fire them, you can't get rid of bad teachers. Is there a process for that?
There is a process, and there has always been a process. Teachers are supposed to be evaluated every year by their principal. Yes, it can take months to fire a bad teacher, but that's the principal's job, really. If a teacher is bad, you document, one, their deficiencies, how they're bad. Then, two, you document that you have talked to that teacher, nothing changed. You gave them extra training. You tried to work with them to overcome what was bad, and that didn't change. And then you fire them.
So you can fire bad teachers.
So you can fire bad teachers. And what we're seeing now is hundreds of teachers who have consistently excellent evaluations from their principals. And I guess you could assume, well, principals have never done their job and they've always just let teachers skate by, but that's an assumption. We don't really have any evidence that that's the case. But the fact is there is, the Missouri law gives teachers tenure. They have rights after they've been 5 years that they can't be fired without going through this evaluation process.
But they can't be
fired. Demonstrating that they're bad. And then you can fire them.
And the other piece of it is that, okay, it's up to the principals because the principals are there in the trenches with the teachers, right?
Yes.
They're the ones seeing them every day. They're the ones that are hearing the kids. They're the ones that are watching them in the halls. All of that.
Right.
So how do you have a process that is executed the way that it needs to be executed when it seems like we're changing principals every 15 minutes? You know, I mean, how can a principal truly evaluate a teacher if you're a new principal, you haven't been there for very long, and you haven't seen a pattern or something, unless a teacher is doing something completely egregious?
Those are all good points. We have about a quarter of St. Louis schools that are going to get new principals this year.
That's a lot of new principals.
And that is a lot. It's actually a little less than we've had the last couple of years. I think when Roberti changed. I just want to say this is – I want to emphasize this point because we've had this churning going on. I think Roberti replaced about 40% of principals.
But
after he left, then Cruz came in and changed another 30-40% in his year. So we've had a churning.
Have we had 100%? What I'm trying to ask is, do we know the numbers of principals that have changed hands and been replaced and moved all over the place since Roberti came into town? I mean,
we can
like
get that number. I don't have it, but yeah, it would be a mobility rate over 100% of principals, because there are, you know, I can think of a couple off the top of my head who have had been moved to a new school each year in the last 3 years.
Now, what is I mean, do you have know off the top of your head what normally happens in districts? Is there that kind of churning of principals, and does that work? Is that effective? It's common sense. You know, common sense, like you said, common sense can be wrong, but common sense would say that districts need stability, that teachers need to be evaluated by people that have seen them, and we need to have certain, you know, just stability.
Yes. Yes, common sense does say that, and I think research says that too. Again, there's a body of research. First of all, says the real difference in a school, whether a school is going to succeed academically or not, is the principal.
Laclede School, for example, with Ms. Roberts.
Wonderful. Blue Ribbon School, one of the top schools in the country.
Blue Ribbon School. But she had been there working with her staff for years to get Laclede to where it needed to be.
Yes. I think most of the research I've done says it takes 3 to 5 years to start. The principal has to be there working at it, and it's 3 to 5 years to start getting the results the principal wants.
And we've had 100% mobility in this district since Roberti came into town. So it goes back to, okay, we have a mechanism to get rid of teachers that are not doing what that teacher needs to be doing, what teachers need to be doing. But we don't have anything in place, really, to put that option into play.
Right. It's we were talking earlier, and there is a mechanism to get rid of teachers who aren't any good.
Mm-hmm.
And like we said, that there's a process you have to go through working with the teacher first, and that takes time. So we're talking about a months-long process. And if, as a principal, you know, well, I'm here for 9 months, and I'm going to be in another school.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot easier to just say, I'll leave this for the next principal to deal with, and I won't go through all the trouble of dealing with it myself.
And on the flip side of that, Peter, shouldn't we be suspect, or shouldn't we be cautious, or shouldn't there be a whole lot of examination into principals' assertions that certain teachers should not be retained given the hypermobility that principals have had in this district? I mean, when we get these recommendations, in this current atmosphere, when we get recommendations from principals that certain teachers should be fired, shouldn't you look twice at that now, just given the instability of the principals and the fact that most of them couldn't have known that teacher all that long?
That's something we have actually talked about on the school board.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to come up with something and say, oh, yeah, we've talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
And no actual vote was taken, but I think the majority feels that we really should require some documentation that the principal has notified a teacher of his or her deficiencies and has tried to work with them, kind of what specifically they've done to try and improve whatever that problem with and what the result is. There's
Are you telling me, Peter, that there's no requirement for that documentation now?
I'm saying that we haven't... I don't know what the board has done before I was elected,
mm-hmm.
but when I came on the board, that documentation was not available to us.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break. I'm talking to Peter Downs. This is the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. I'm Liz Brown. Please don't forget that Saturday, join us at the Urban Institute, where we will be taking a look at the film Loose Change. You think you know what happened? Think you know what happened in 9/11? No, you didn't. No, you don't. Join us at 9 o'clock at 1020 North Taylor. That's Irene J. Smith and myself. We'll be watching the film. Be there.
The movie is called Ruth. In the movie, the setting is in a village called Jufurey.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else indeed? Where are you going to make your house look? Where are you going to go to make your house look good on the inside and on the outside, whether it's a tractor, whether it's tools, whether it's furniture, or whether it's furniture, whether it is appliance, you need to go to Sears. That's right. Get on over to Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. Great service, great quality, and it's right here in the city of St. Louis, the only one. I'm Liz Brown. When you get to Sears, tell them I told you to.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Beijing. An interesting story is developing out of China. 2 weeks ago, a spy plane crashed near the Chinese city of Nanjing, killing about 40 people. It turns out that 35 of them were some of China's top electronic warfare specialists. Furthermore, the plane itself was a copy of an Israeli AWACS plane, and a great deal of the technology that was on board was American and may have been acquired illegally from Israeli Defense Forces and a New York-based company that makes radars for the U.S. Air Force fleet of AWACS aircraft. But the Chinese have now launched an investigation into the matter because there is some thought that they may have been deliberately sold faulty technology. That was a tactic used by the CIA during the mid-1980s, which caused a serious problem for the economy of the old Soviet Union. And Dateline Los Angeles. One of the bigger names on the NASCAR racing circuit is in some tax trouble. 54-year-old Gene Haas, who owns the NASCAR team of Haas CNC Racing, was arrested on Monday in California on charges of conspiracy, filing false tax returns, and intimidating a witness. The U.S. Attorney's Office charges Haas with creating a plan to claim $50 million worth of phony expenses for write-offs to save his company about $20 million worth of taxes. A company spokesman says Haas is innocent, and the problems come from the company's former financial officer, John Phillips. A phony company set up in Nevada is said to have issued fake bills to another of Haas corporations, and the person named as heading that Nevada operation has already pleaded guilty to tax evasion charges. This is your wake-up call Global News Update.
Tim and Tell inviting you to join me Friday nights here on WGNU for a little sports talk. We'll drop the gloves, scuffle a bit, and in the end, line up and shake hands. Well, maybe not line up and shake hands.
Hi, everybody. This is Mike Huss. Join me Thursday nights after the 7 o'clock news right here on Radio 920 as we circle the bases. Join my roundtable guests and myself as we talk about what's happening in the world of sports, baseball, football, basketball, hockey. Yeah, we'll even talk a little NASCAR, and yeah, we'll even talk a little poker. We'll circle the bases. That's what the show's all about. 7:05, Thursday night, right here on Radio 920.
This is Alan Brainerd. Join me Wednesdays at noon for Design 411 on AM 920 WGNU. Learn how to turn your ordinary home into an extraordinary home. That's Design 411 at noon, Wednesdays on AM 920 WGNU.
Next on Mondays at 9, we look at a study that indicates women who use ACE inhibitors to treat high blood pressure while pregnant run a greater risk of giving birth to a child with birth defects. Did the FDA know this as far back as 15 years ago? Why were no warnings ever required? Is this another case of putting money over health? A shocking revelation from investigative journalist Evelyn Pringle of Op-Ed Magazine on the next edition of Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown.
Around the world, and behind the story, it's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Good morning, Miss Liz.
Good morning. Who's this?
This is Dontrell Busby calling you from the Clee School. Zachy Gray, room 209. Thank you, Miss Liz, for the gift from Africa that you gave to everyone. We are watching a movie. The movie is called Root. In the movie, the setting is in a village called Jufurey. And Roots was voted.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back, welcome back. And I want to remind everybody one more time that this Saturday at 1020 North Taylor, the Urban Institute, that's where Irene J. Smith and myself, we meet every Saturday with all y'all out there. It's kind of a public forum. It's kind of a think tank. It's kind of a workshop. We meet every Saturday working on the issues that confront us. This Saturday, we're going to do a little national. We're going to help you understand, connect the dots of the challenges that we face here in the city of St. Louis, how things really happen. We're going to take a look at a film called Loose Change. Loose Change was taken off the internet because of their concern about what is said about 9/11. It's back on, but you need to come on down and see the film at 1020 North Taylor at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning. We'll be showing the film and we'll be having a discussion afterwards. Bring your family, bring your kids. It's going to be a wonderful opportunity to speak truth to power, to have a discussion about, and then how we act in the knowledge of all of that. So be there, Irene J. Smith and myself, this Saturday. The address is 1020 North Taylor. The time is 9 a.m. Peter, welcome back.
Thank you.
And so we were talking about the churning of the principals and the district and all of the impact of that.
Yes.
You and I were taking a look at this article on the front page of USA Today that says, Big City School Struggle. Low graduation rates may also be a national problem. The city of St. Louis, it seems like it is moving in a direction or caught at a place in time that the challenges that confront it seem really kind of overwhelming. I mean, it seems like that there are challenges on every single place. And I saw an email that came out. People are putting the blame for this at the top of the district. I'm starting to hear calls for Craig Williams' removal. How important is it to have the type of leadership that you need for the district? I mean, it feels like this is a district that has suffered so much with the result of Roberti and suffered so much as a result of the changes after him. Right now, it seems like they're struggling again, and the struggle seems to be coming from the top in the form of leadership. Are you hearing people out there raising the issue of whether or not Craig Williams should be retained?
Yeah, there are people raising that issue, mm-hmm. and there are people on both sides. There are mm-hmm. people who say he should go, and there are people who say that he's the one who's doing everything right, and we should get behind him and do whatever he wants.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people, you know, everywhere in the middle, mm-hmm. you know, between that. I think it's extremely important. We do have challenges on all fronts. The biggest challenges to the district right now are financial.
Mm-hmm.
If we can't get the financial house in order, the state could take us over.
Mm-hmm.
And they're academic. Again, if we depend upon what happens with accreditation in 2-3 years,
mm-hmm.
the state could take us over. There's a short time span to deal with both of those, which tend to work against each other.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's a short time span we're put into, I think, by the actions of the school board since Slay's cronies took over in 2003. Because here we are with the 2006-2007 budget. We don't have a budget yet. You know, the Board of Education, and I was part of the majority that voted to reject the budget the superintendent presented, he presented a budget that would have us spend, again, more money than we're taking in. Yeah, which is fine if the following year you say things are going to change, we're going to make it up. But instead, this is just a step towards the following year where he's, you know, talking about, a $50 million deficit.
But this is part of the voodoo economics that I was referring to earlier, where the superintendent said, we can't look at these little expenditures of $300,000, $200,000, because the fact of the matter is that we're over-obligated anyway, so it doesn't make any difference what we do with these little $200,000 or $300,000 expenditures. That's mind-boggling and
right, he says that, and at the same time he says, and if we don't change by a year from November, the state will take us over because we won't be able to pay any bills. You know, kind of like, well, hold on, is that what you want?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to wonder, look at the budget being given.
And is that what you want your legacy to be? You know, that you came in, you were paid more than anybody in the history of a district, more than most, any administrator that I know of in the state of Missouri, and the legacy is that when I left, the state took us over.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know.
Let me get to a call.
Please be speechless whether that's what he wants or not.
Portia.
Oh, Liz, thank you. I want to know, if the gambling boats are doing so good, how come the schools don't have more money? And why is the mayor not more involved in trying to pick us up and lift us up? Is it, I mean...
Okay, we can talk about both of those things, Portia.
Thank you.
Thanks for those questions.
Thank you.
To the gambling boat, I think a lot of people misunderstand how we get our funding from the gambling boats.
Right, because the money doesn't come directly. It's not whatever money the gambling boats make. A
right.
certain percentage goes to school. The money goes to the state for the general fund.
The general revenue fund.
And the state then decides, kind of separately, based on all the money it gets in,
I think
how much money they're going to allocate for schools.
Right. So all of the money that the gambling boats bring in doesn't all go to school. It goes straight to the general revenue. And then we get whatever we had budgeted for the school district does come from that, but not anymore. Like if the state of Missouri said, okay, we're going to spend $50 million on education this year, they get that money from that.
That's right. And it doesn't matter how much comes in from the gambling boat.
Exactly.
You just get the $50 million that
exactly.
the legislature decides to spend.
Exactly.
That's right.
Now, as to the role of Francis Slay, Portia's other question.
You know, I think he's too involved. He's not involved in trying to pick us up. He's involved in trying to tear us down,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion. And I understand he continues to have meetings. Regular meetings with the superintendent. He'll have them in his office with the superintendent and former board members, Vince Shamel, Jim Buford, Darnett Cleanscale, and telling the superintendent what they want him to do. And that kind of interference, I think, is...
Let's just look at the result of it. We have a district in chaos. We have a budget that can't get passed. We have a superintendent that didn't know that the budget that he presented to and wanted to get passed was $4 million short, and not in a good way. that we had a $4 million bill out there that he hadn't factored into the budget. That's what this superintendent did. And that's a result of Francis Slay. And if we want to talk about Francis Slay's involvement in this, we can talk about the report from Steve Carroll, who is the lobbyist for the city of St. Louis Public Schools. He saw Francis Slay and his cronies up in Jefferson City quite a bit, but not for good stuff.
No, I think he added it up and he said if everything Francis Slay had wanted the legislature to do had gotten passed.
And advocated
for. Everything Francis Slay advocated for, if that had passed, and it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully it didn't, but if it had, he said it would have cost the school district about $67 million a year.
Period.
And we would have lost $67 million a year if Francis Slay got his way. So he's not trying to build up the district. He's trying to tear it down.
And the other piece of it is he's trying to get to this whole charter school piece. Part of the things that he advocated up there were the things like people like Jeff Smith are in support of, this whole charter school piece. It would have cost the district $40 million.
Yes.
If Francis Slay had gotten his way.
Yeah. Yeah. Many more charter schools, which aren't functioning even as good as the public schools they're replacing.
Well, it sounds like the music's coming up, coming to the end of another Public Schools Watch. We have another school board meeting coming up.
July. It'll be the second Tuesday in July.
Second Tuesday in July. Okay, anything?
The 11th and the 18th are the meetings.
Very good. Peter Downs, I will see you next week.
See you next week.
All right, thank you. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made
If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution through the air, brother.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
The latest from the ABC News. I'm Daria Albert.
Our son, as far as we're concerned, he has died for the freedom of everybody in the United States. We're very proud of our son.
The father of Private First Class Thomas Tucker, one of the two missing American soldiers whose bodies were found yesterday, not far from the Iraqi checkpoint they manned. Tucker was from Madras, Oregon. ABC's Jim Ryan is more from Houston, hometown of the other soldier, Christian Mancheca.
The initial reports that the body of PFC Christian Mancheca had been found came from an Iraqi Defense Ministry official who said that Mancheca, who was 23, and another Army PFC had been killed in a very barbaric way. Relatives of that missing soldier are now holding out hope that he wasn't among the bodies discovered in Iraq, but it's a hope that's fading.
The Pentagon has given about 21,000 soldiers and Marines the word they're going to be headed to Iraq before the end of the year. Meanwhile, the Senate today will debate a possible exit strategy. Arizona Republican John McCain says it's too early for that.
This conflict will spread to other parts of the Middle East and even other parts of the world if we don't prevail here.
A Democratic proposal calls for troops to start to return immediately, but it doesn't give a date for them all to be out of Iraq. Scores of students protest President Bush's visit to Vienna, leading the demonstration anti-war activist Cindy Sheehan, whose son was killed in Iraq. Well, summer is officially here as of today, and consider yourself warned, you're going to use your air conditioner a lot. ABC's Donna Rapata sweating it out in Miami.
Plan for cool clothes and staying in the shade this summer if you're in areas east of the Mississippi. Forecasters say places like Florida, the New England area, and even Alaska's southern regions are in for some higher than normal temps. People can expect those high temperatures for prolonged periods. It could start heat waves and even spark wildfires, especially in the west, where states like Colorado and Oklahoma are already experiencing extreme drought.
This is ABC News.
You call it in, we bring it out at participating locations.
Ooh, I did it again.
What? You started to cook.
I can't cook.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Doesn't anything inspire you?
Pizza.
I should have listened to my mother.
It's the Color Inspiration Sale at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Now you can save 20% a gallon on a wide variety of interior and exterior paints and stains. It's great savings on the high-quality products you want. For painting and decorating, ask how, ask now.
Ask Sherwin-Williams.
For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com.
The wait is over for the Miami Heat. They beat Dallas 92-95 to win the NBA championship. It's the team's first. A little girl in San Diego is getting a lot of attention these days because of her big talent. ABC News national correspondent Jim Hickey has her story.
Ellie Choi loves her violin. Began learning to play it about a year ago and has already performed 2 recitals. And she is only 4.
She liked it. She enjoyed it.
In San Diego, Ellie's mom says her daughter is no prodigy, just motivated, and says if she eventually loses interest, well, who knows?
But right now, she enjoys the violin. She enjoys the music.
And so do people who hear her play. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
And I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Time for a WGNU News update brought to you by the Granite Works New Arrivals. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. Governor Matt Blunt will sign a bill today that will change how the St. Louis Police Department pays its officers. Senate Bill 1086 allows the St. Louis Board of Police Commissioners to set the pay for officers without having to get approval from the State General Assembly. The measure repeals a previous provision that set maximum pay rates for St. Louis officers. A bill signing ceremony is set for this afternoon downtown. In other news, residents will have the chance to speak out tonight on the St. Louis Police Department's civilian residency rule. The Board of Police Commissioners will meet tonight at 7 at Word of Life Lutheran Church on Eichelberger. Residents are invited to comment on the rule that allows some civilian employees of the police department to live outside the St. Louis city limits. The police board waived the residency rule for some technology positions in April. And finally, in town and country, repairs will continue today on a section of I-64 damaged in a fatal pileup last week in St. Louis County. The left lane of eastbound I-64 at Mason will be closed from 9 this morning until 3 this afternoon for repairs. Last week's accident involved several vehicles, including a tractor-trailer, and killed 71-year-old Richard Lake. The concrete median was damaged when the semi crashed over it. And that's a WGNU News report for this hour, brought to you by the Granite Works New Arrivals. Granite Works has a new shipment of the most beautiful granite you'll ever see. Colors like Tropical Treasure and Golden Sunset. But you've got to see them to believe them. Starting at $38 a square foot, call 862-6300 today. I'm Peyton Colston with a report of WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Midas. Trust the Midas touch. Eastbound 44 from River to Perry to Jamison. No problems to report after earlier possibilities of deer.
I say America's Got Talent. Am I right?
Regis Philbin has a new primetime gig hosting America's Got Talent, premiering tonight on NBC. It's produced by Simon Cowell of American Idol. But Philbin says,
well, American Idol specializes in singers. This thing is wide open. It's for $1 million, you know. They don't get that kind of prize money on American Idol.
Casting calls were held around the country to choose contestants, some of them pretty bizarre. There's a guy who balances a kitchen range on his chin while cooking eggs on it. How about singers, Reg?
Well, we have the Rappin' Granny, the grandmother who raps.
I told Philbin that America's Got Talent is a throwback to the early days of television, with shows like Ted Mack's original Amateur Hour.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that in this. Come on, let's do it.
There are three judges on America's Got Talent: British TV personality Piers Morgan, singer Brandy, and former Baywatch star David Hasselhoff. Viewers at home, however, will have the final say. I'm Bill Dean.
Fuel, adventure, Sea-Doo, Adam.
Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. A heat advisory is in effect from noon until 7 p.m. this evening. Otherwise hot and humid, partly cloudy, high in the upper 90s. The heat index is expected to reach around 105 by this afternoon. This evening, partly cloudy, chance of showers, low in the mid-70s. Thursday, partly sunny, chance of showers with a high around 90. And Friday, pretty much the same. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. At AM 920 WGNU, currently we have 81 degrees under clear skies. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of this 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Coming up Monday on the Wake Up Call, we've rescheduled our interview with David McMichael, a Marine Corps vet and a former consultant with the Defense Department. He worked in counterinsurgency matters in Southeast Asia and says while the killings at Haditha are tragic, they do fall within the tradition of American military operations and are not surprising. You won't want to miss this eye-opening look into the world of military strategy with David McMichael, Monday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, tell me, sisters. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, tell me, sisters.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you.
you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Feel the
truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Open lines this hour at 1-877-920-WGNU. And I want to remind all of you that you have an opportunity, a wonderful opportunity, this Saturday. Come on down to 1020 North Taylor. 1020 North Taylor. Come on down. We're going to be, Irene J. Smith and myself, we're going to be showing a film called Loose Change. Loose Change is a film that was created for the internet, and it has taken off. It is change the world in perspective to how people are looking at 9/11. It was so powerful that it was removed from the internet. It's back up. Come and see what they don't want you to see on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. You think you know everything about 9/11? No, you don't. You need to come on down to 1020 North Taylor. Check this out. 9 o'clock. What does this have to do with your world? Come on out. We'll show you and tell you how. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Get to me. Get to me. How bad is it in Iraq? How bad is it? A female soldier in the United States military has refused to serve in Iraq. Why? She's accusing her superiors of using the war zone as a pretext for sexual harassment. Do you hear me? Suzanne Swift, 21 years old, a specialist with the 54th Military Police Company, said she did not join her unit when it left for a second tour of duty in Iraq because it would mean a return to a regime of harassment. It was like their goal to get someone to be their girl for their deployment, and usually they wanted someone with a lower ranking so they could have upper hand or control. It's like some sick type of power trip. This is a big deal. Have you heard about it? Have you heard about this? We have women refusing to, a woman refusing to be deployed in Iraq because of sexual harassment. There are 4,400 soldiers absent without leave. That's the number the Pentagon's giving us. How many? You think that's accurate? If they're saying 4,400, I say double it. I say double it. She joined the ranks of those 4,400, according to the Department of Defense's numbers, the Pentagon's number. She was arrested at her mother's home 5 months after the rest of her unit left for Iraq. She said the harassment began shortly after she enlisted. She enlisted at 19. Why did she enlist? Because a recruiter said she would never see combat. Less than a year later, she was on her way to southern Iraq. She was one of three women in her company. Soon after her arrival in Kuwait, she was propositioned. She said the harassment became unrelenting. She said, is she the only one that's saying this? Apparently there are 508 women that have, since we occupied Iraq in 2003, 508 women have complained of sexual assault. There is an attitude in the military that has been there so long that as there have been women in the military. She said she was the Private Swift said that she reported the harassment to her to the unit's equal opportunity officer, and no action was taken. She said that she later began a sexual relationship with a superior. She said that that relationship that lasted 3 months was coerced, and she was threatened with being sent on dangerous assignments if she did not submit. Jesus, God. She said they have the absolute power of life and death. So she said, and listen to this quote. She said, if someone has to run across a minefield and they don't like you, guess where you're going to be sent? To run over the minefield. She said that when she ended the relationship, she was repeatedly singled out for harsh treatment. The superior humiliated her in front of fellow soldiers, forced her to carry an outsized wall clock, including carrying it to the latrine and during physical training. She said she didn't report the harassment. She was assigned to a different unit. A week later, when she asked a superior where to report for duty, you know what he said to her? In my bed, naked. That's where he told her to report. When they told her that she was going to have to go back to Iraq, at first she said, okay, well, I just have to go. But then when it was time to go, she looked and turned to her mother and said, you know what, I can't do this. I can't do this. When you're over there, you're lower than dirt. You're expendable as a soldier in general, and as a woman, it is even worse. Mm. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. There's so much stuff. So much stuff to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to comment on Private Swift. I know she's probably done this already, got down on her knees, and thank God that she came back alive. Because I know your listening audience remember the young 19-year-old honor student from St. Louis, Missouri, who wasn't so lucky because there's chatter all about that she was fighting off a sexual assault when she was killed. So we haven't heard any update on that, but I'm sure Private Swift considers herself very lucky. And while we're on Iraq, I'd like to comment on Saddam Hussein's American trial that he's having over there in Iraq. Now, the third one of his defending attorneys have been murdered. This is the third one. How could you call that a trial? This is just a sham. I mean, they should have just took him out and killed him because he's not getting a fair trial. It was reported that 25 or more of the people that he was accused of killing are alive and well. So it's just there are no laws. It's just lawlessness. And as far as I'm concerned, those three soldiers that were, one was killed on the spot and the other two were supposedly just found, I don't buy that they were kidnapped. I just don't buy it. Maybe they were three who might have had something to report, some heinous crime that happened over there, and they had to get rid of them because they were in the most dangerous section of Iraq. This is what the report said. And how they got separated from their unit.
That's the question.
It is the question.
That's the question.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Kevin?
Hello.
Yes.
How you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
You know what? I'd like to comment on something I heard Friday on your show. It had to do with the bell curve.
Okay.
And you had I know it's a long time. You had a listener that came on that suggested the reason Europeans are in power had to do with necessity.
I don't remember, Kevin, but you can go ahead and make your point.
Okay. She said that the reason Europeans are in control in this world had to do with the situation they were in, which means why they built all this technology. And it had nothing to do with that. Most of the technology that came to Europe had to do through the Romans. And it came from Africa through the Romans. And that's all I wanted to say.
Okay.
I just hope she's listening. It had nothing to do with necessity as the mother of invention. It had to do with other people conquering Europeans, building technologies. I mean, giving them technologies and building things, you know. And then you mentioned the Egyptians and the pyramids. You still don't know? You don't remember it?
No, I'm sorry, Kevin.
That's okay.
Okay.
Have a good day, bye.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's a whole lot of conversations. 454-0400 is my phone number. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. I think that what is happening with this young woman, Private Swift, I think what happened to her, what she says happens to her as a female soldier in Iraq, I think that we need a different word than sexual harassment. I really do, because I think it sexual harassment really kind of understates understates the seriousness of these assaults. Someone has complete life or death control over you, and they're demanding that you, they're demanding that you have an intimate relationship with them. If that's not the definition, sexual harassment is not the definition. It is terrorism. You're right, Howard, you're right. It's terrorism. It's terrorism. That is a terrorizing thing. It's rape. It's using sex as a weapon. That's rape. I'm going to send you over to check out a minefield if I can't have my way with you. And this is a 19-year-old baby? This is a teenager? I was having a conversation with a friend of mine last night. And he was struck by this photograph that was on the front page, of one of the Financial Times, I believe it was, or Investors Business Weekly. And it was a picture of a soldier, and my friend was talking about just looking at that picture. If this young man makes it back home, how messed up he's going to be. That we're creating monsters over in Iraq. We're creating men that are going to be good for little when they get back here. You know that police departments, there was an article in the newspaper not too long ago that police departments are saying, we ain't hiring people that are coming back from Iraq. They don't always make good police officers. Because they've been trained to, when you're an occupier of a nation, and that's what we are right now, we're not fighting a war. The war's over. War's over. Saddam Hussein has been captured. He's on trial. War's over. We're occupying a nation now. The way you fight an occupation war, when you are the occupier, you kill everybody because everybody's the enemy. You have to think of it like that. You have to be trained in that way. And if you live through it, you have to come home. And what are you going to be able to do for us when you are here? Besides be unhealed and damaged and brutalized. These young people are seeing things that no human being is supposed to see. And no human being can see and not walk away without being profoundly damaged. Those are just the men. 500 and something women have filed complaints about being terrorized sexually in the Iraq War. We are creating monsters. And we have these no good, self-serving, pompous politicians out here telling us it would be cut and running. Ain't no part of your body over in Iraq. What do you mean we cutting and running? You ain't there. You ain't never been there. The only visits that the people that holler cut and run make to Iraq, talk about cutting and running. Do you think they turned the engine of the helicopter off when Bush landed in the green zone? You think he didn't cut and run as soon as he got there? Hi, pleased to see you. Good luck. Good luck. See you. Bye. Good job. You're doing a great job, Iraqi. Cut and run. Cut and run. The only people moving fast out of Iraq are Tony Snow, George Bush, and Donald Rumsfeld. Talk about your flash. You can't see them because they're moving so fast. The only people cutting and running are the people that are lying to us about this war. Okay? If you don't think that we should leave, tell you what. Every United States senator and every United States congressperson that says the words cut and run out their mouth, out your mouth, they get to be sent to Baghdad outside of the green zone. Oh, they're going to be given the same equipment that our soldiers are given. We don't need to train them because they know more than our soldiers do. Ain't nothing to train them up on. So y'all got to stay. We won't even make you stay a week. Too much taxpayers' money for the burial and all. 3 days. You stay 3 days outside the green zone and see if you're every part of your body, including the last part that goes over the fence, doesn't cut and run, come back home. All y'all got to stay there. That's the deal. Before you can say cut and run again. They kill me. They kill me. We're going to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. Yeah, cut and run. Tony Snow looked like he wanted to be any place than where he was right then. Scared to death. Should have been. Cut and run. Ask George Bush if they turned his helicopter off for 1 second while he was in Baghdad in the green zone. I'll be back.
Don't you threaten me, son. You got a lot of gold. We want to do things my way.
Travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else, where else, where else can you get washers and dryers and refrigerators and stove? Where else can you make the outside of your home as lovely as the inside of your home, or vice versa? Sears, right here in the city of St. Louis. Great deals, great special deals, unique deals, exclusive deals at the Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. My name is Liz Brown. When you get to the Sears, get one of those exclusive, wonderful deals. Tell them I told you to.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your local Dodge dealers. In both directions, 170 at Forest Park Parkway and Ladue, look for construction. Left lane's closed. Southbound traffic closed near Page. Northbound is slow from 40 on in. Northbound 270 at Gravelway and 44, stop-and-go traffic in pockets. Eastbound 70 at 79, that traffic's easing. Westbound 270 from New Florissant to 170, look for that congestion cleared. Eastbound 40 from Spady to Brentwood, look for slow traffic. Westbound 5570 onto the PSB. Paving operations have the right lane closed. Traffic is stacked up to near 4th Street. Eastbound 40 at Poplar Street Bridge, look for two center lanes are open due to paving operations. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge is returned back to normal, and all the other approaches to the Poplar Street Bridge are slow or sluggish at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your Dodge dealer. This June, choose how you want to save on your Dodge dealer. Grab 0% APR long-term financing on most Dodge vehicles, or grab a huge cash allowance up to $5,000. See your Dodge dealer for details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Heat advisories in effect beginning at noon today till 7 p.m. this evening. Otherwise hot and humid, partly cloudy, high in the upper 90s. The heat index will expected to reach around 105 by this afternoon. This evening, partly cloudy, chance of showers, low in the mid-70s. Thursday, partly sunny, chance of showers with a high around 90. And Friday, pretty much the same, partly cloudy with a chance for showers, a high around 90 as well. Currently, we have 80 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 81. Make sure you dress in some light clothing and drink plenty of fluids. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been, or that is a look at your traffic and weather. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
The St. Louis Comic Book Show will take place on Sunday from 10:30 to 2:30 at the Shrewsbury American Legion Post on Lansdowne. Parking is free and admission is $2. This is your opportunity to buy, sell, and trade collectible comics, cards, toys, and action figures. For more info, call 314-544-2812. News to you from WGNU.
Next on Mondays at 9, we look at a study that indicates women who use ACE inhibitors to treat high blood pressure while pregnant run a greater risk of giving birth to a child with birth defects. Did the FDA know this as far back as 15 years ago? Why were no warnings ever required? Is this another case of putting money over health? A shocking revelation from investigative journalist Evelyn Pringle of Op-Ed Magazine on the next edition of Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Of Africans chained to the slave ships, for the millions of scars on their backs and face by the bullwhip, for the millions who jumped overboard, for the blood that poured on the shores of North America, South America, Central America, and Europe, and each ripple.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. Caller had wanted to leave ask a question. She couldn't stay on the line. She wanted to know how much Boy George's cut and run stunt when he ran over to Baghdad, the Green Zone in Baghdad, how much that cost the American people. Millions and millions and millions. That cut and run stunt. They didn't turn the motor of the helicopter off. He showed cut and run. He didn't stay around for lunch. He didn't stay around to kick it with his cowboy boots propped up on the end table. Snack down on a few pretzels, choke on a few pretzels. He didn't have time for that. He showed cut and run when he got to Iraq. What you talking about? What you talking about? 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. There's an astonishing, that's kind of an overstatement. There's a very, very, very good article that is out by one of our frequent guests, David Zirin. He's at edgeofsports.com, edgeofsports.com. And he wrote this really amazing article about how the soccer players for the United States and the whole United States contingent at the World Cup, that's militaristic. Soccer players are saying, we're here for war! Huh? And whenever you put your jersey on and you look at your crest and your national anthem going on and you're playing a game against a different country, it's like do or die, it's war, it's survival of the fittest. Huh? Huh? What the? Huh? It's war? Baby, you don't know. Huh? He says, it's do or die. I don't want to go home early. It's war. Well, sweetie, everybody who's in Iraq wants to go home early. Everybody who's fought in a world war wants to go home. And here's the joke on Americans. Here's a joke on Americans. These boys are out here talking about, it's war! Other countries, and they've been doing World Cup a whole lot longer than the USA has. A whole lot longer. The World Cup has historically aimed to be a counterweight to the passions of war. Ain't that some stuff? So what are we trying to do? We're trying to militarize. We're trying to warriorize the World Cup. By boys, don't you know, that ain't in war. Armchair warriors. Oh, Lord. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Andre.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, you know, I've never gotten that whole thing anyway because, you know, it's just like with football in this country. You're supposed to absolutely hate whatever the opposing team is.
No, that's not. I mean, if you read this article from David Zirin, the energy that they bring to it, what other countries bring to it, is so opposite of what we bring to it. And that's not to say that there aren't people out there in the World Cup that do really crummy things. But no, it ain't about war.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the way the attitude is in this country with
okay.
football
okay.
As is American football.
Gotcha,
United
gotcha.
States football,
okay, gotcha, gotcha.
You're supposed to absolutely hate whatever the opposing team is. Now, I've never understood that because it's just a game anyway. And as far as I'm concerned, the only thing I even know about football is how good they look in the uniform, especially when they bend over. But that's a different story. With this situation with that young lady, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. Yes, it's sexual terrorism. That's what I would call it. But I wouldn't be surprised if there aren't 100 more like her in that same situation, and with this don't ask, don't tell policy, same thing isn't happening to men. Just like with all of, I'm suspicious of all the whole thing. With these three soldiers that were killed?
Yes.
What's to say that this isn't just another propaganda stunt? How suspicious is it to you that, well, you haven't heard about them recently, but all of the, remember back a few months ago, there were all of these 10, 20, 35 bodies that would be found in trucks and in vacant buildings all of a sudden. And they're claiming that this is, you know, the insurgents doing. Well, the insurgents are the United States forces. Insurgents are forces which are rising up against a duly elected sovereign government. So what's to say that this is not another plan?
It comes back to the issue of credibility. Do you believe what this administration is telling you?
No, I don't.
There you go.
Those bodies, for me, are just, I hate to seem to belittle it, but for me, those bodies are no more than a throwaway gun that some cop in South St. Louis would plant on somebody at a drug stop.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. Lois.
Yes, good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm outstanding.
I want to make a comment about the women being
Sergeant or Private Swift?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Suzanne Swift.
It's sad to hear that our female soldiers is going through that over there. And I was thinking, compared to the war in Vietnam and some other places that we've been, where there were certain areas that they had prostitution that served the servicemen.
Mm.
In this country, because of their religion and moral standard, the women, they don't have that. They don't have women to serve the service our men. So that's, I'm thinking that's the reason why this is so aggressive. No, they're being so aggressive in attacking the female soldiers. Do you think? Because, you know, they don't have prostitute, you know, sections there in Baghdad, as far as I know. I could be wrong. But.
Rape is a crime of violence. Sexual terrorism is a crime of violence.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about a man needing a prostitute. It is a crime of violence. What has given birth in Iraq is this country is training people, teaching people into becoming monsters.
Right.
This is not about a sexual desire. This is about a crime. This is about acts of brutality. This is about the same mentality that put a man up on a stool with electrodes attached to his genitals,
mm-hmm.
With hoods on, like Klan's hoods, only they were black. That's the same mentality that is forcing these women to engage in acts of sex against their will. It's sexual terrorism, just like it was terrorism at Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo, Lois.
Okay.
Thanks for your call. We're going to take a break. This is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
Line in Chicago. Fat man in front of me. He's calling black people trash to his children. And he's the only trash here I see. And I'm thinking this man wears a white hood in the night when his children should sleep. But they'll slip through their windows and